had the Steelers early in the season, and, you know, obviously their season kind of didn't go how they expected. How have you guys been able to hold it together with, you know, coming off the Super Bowl and then also, you know, with all the injuries you guys have had?
Well, I think the team showed great resiliency during the injury thing. I mean, it was really – that's the first time I can remember where you lose that many guys on offense. But the guys that stepped in when, you know, we talk about that a lot, that if someone goes down, the next guy steps in and plays. They really did a pretty good job. They really did. You know, we were kind of stringing things together with Band-Aids, but they hung in there, and we, you know, got a couple during that stretch. After the Super Bowl, you know, because the story comes up a lot about teams faltering, you know, I did address the team and talk to them about that and the reasons in past histories why something like that happens. And I never thought it was real magical or mystical. I just thought typically teams get hurt, you know, and but if you approach your off season properly, if we hang together and keep going after it, you know, there's no reason to think automatically just because you're in that game you're going to have a bad year the next year. In fact, you shouldn't. So they listened. You know, we had the best off season workout program we've had as far as participation, and then you know, they've kind of dealt with the injury thing about as well as you could, I think.
How's your game plan change with Denver putting in Jay Cutler instead of Jake Plummer?
Well, the only thing, we don't have much film on Jay. We know he's a great player, you know, and we really liked him, too, coming out of college. And Denver has a good football team, you know. So I think the main difference is when you're playing against Jake, you're thinking about movement by the quarterback, you know, either on bootlegs or a lot of the things he does and does well. That was a big part of your preparation. I'm assuming, you know, Jay will do some of that, but probably not as much. I think he's probably going to be in the pocket a little bit more. And so that would be the main thing, I would think.
Were you kind of surprised by the move? Or is nothing surprising in this league anymore?
No, you know what? There's no one that knows quarterbacks and offensive football more than Mike Shanahan. And I think when you draft a quarterback number one, you know, what you're saying to your fans and your team and everybody, that at some point, here's the guy. This is the guy. Otherwise, you know, it's too valuable a pick. And you know, you just, that's the way it is. Now, when that happens, you know, that's the tricky part, just a little bit. And so, you know, Mike knows his team better than anybody. He's always been great with quarterbacks, and you know, he has his own reasons. And you know, like we all would. I mean, we all have to make that decision or decide, and that's what you do for the best. You know, and you're always thinking about what's best for the football team.
Well, the timing of me asking this question might not be good because you're playing Cutler, but in your vast experience, you know, working with quarterbacks, what do you think the greatest challenge coming out of the gate the first few weeks is for somebody like Cutler?
Well, I think it's a difficult position to play to start with. And for a young guy, of course, he played in the preseason and all those things, but the speed of the game for a rookie quarterback is quite different than what he's used to in college. That's the first most obvious thing. Now, he has played in the preseason and played very, very well, so he's experienced some of that. But the regular season is different, as you guys know. The playoffs are even more different. That's one of the bigger challenges. And then, you know, just, I don't know, handling the being the guy. For any quarterback, if you make a change of quarterback, being the man that everyone's counting on and you know, the world's on your shoulders, that's quite different than being the guy coming in off the bench and in a game and winging it around. So, but, you know, he is a talented young guy. And we know it's a tremendous challenge. We have a tremendous challenge for us going in there.
What does it take to overcome that, though? You said it is a different challenge being the guy. Does it take a certain type of personality to kind of deal with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think you play quarterback in the NFL, you are wired a certain way. And the great ones, you know, are really special athletes. And, I've been fortunate to be around some of the greatest quarterbacks, I think, ever. And they are special. And to deal with all the pressures, not only just play the game physically and make the throws and do the right thing and approach and study and prepare mentally and all the things you have to do, but then to handle, being the man, the adulation, to handle all that and keep in the perspective, and then can consistently do that for 10 years, you know, or 15 years or whatever it is. Those guys are special.
Javon Walker said that, you know, just in practice, that Cutler's arm, does remind him of Favre. Obviously, you worked with Favre. I mean, you said you watched him on tape. What did you kind of come away with as your impression when you, and you probably, I don't know how deeply you broke down Cutler, but.
Well, I will say I did not break him down like I used to when I was coaching the position, mm-hmm. or when we were in line to draft a quarterback that high. But the things that I saw were this. I think the comparisons were fair. Coming out of college, I think you saw some of the same velocity, you saw some of the same strength that you saw in Brett. I'd be reluctant to compare any young player with Brett Favre, though, at this point.
We're comparing him to Elway, so don't worry.
But I would say that you saw those things. The second thing, and then this was a comparison, is that you'd have Jay at Vanderbilt, and he's going against teams, I think, most of the teams that he played against probably were better on paper, probably had more athletes, and because of the academics and all those things that went into Vanderbilt. And he was able to take that team as the leader of that team and overcome some of those things and win. Brett did the same thing at Southern Miss, that he took a group of guys and they beat the odds and beat teams that were better. And I think a lot of it had to do with his leadership. Those are some of the intangibles that I think you get, and I think we're seeing in this young guy.
For years, the Denver Broncos offense has revolved around the running back a little bit. Can this offense revolve around Javon Walker? Have you seen that at all?
He's awful good. Boy, he's a good player. And, I don't know if I'd ever say an offense revolves around a wide receiver. I don't know if I'd say that. Is it important to have good wide receivers? Absolutely. You know, and he is a good one. But, you know, I'm more likely to say the offense revolves around, you know, someone who touches the ball more, you know, and that'd be the quarterback or a running back.
So are you happy the Broncos running game is struggling going into this?
Well, you know what? I'm scared to death because in all the times I've played Denver and watched Denver and broke down film on Denver, they have been able to run the ball very, very, very well. You know, they have a wonderful scheme. You still basically have the same coaches teaching the same scheme. And so, and teams have gotten us a little bit this year running the ball. So, you know, I'm not going to take anything for granted. We have to play our best football. And I know they have a lot of pride there, and they want that running game to go, and they have good players. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can to kind of try and stem the tide just a little bit there.
You had a front row seat last year to Sean's big season, MVP season. Does LT look like an MVP to you?
He looks pretty good. You know, again, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen all his games, but we played them in the preseason. I know him a little bit. He is really good, and you know, scoring all those touchdowns and their team's doing well. That combination certainly puts him in line for those types of honors.
I wanted to ask you this just because you've been on the competition committee and we're just coming off this game. Did you see that play in the Raiders-Chargers game?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I did. Where the guy spun the ball?
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. What's your opinion of that? I mean, obviously they say it's a forward pass. The league said it was the right call by rule. Is that something that should be looked at, or is that a fair call, you think?
Absolutely should be looked at.
Okay.
To to me, and I was on the committee when we talked about some of those things, and I was, you know, that committee, the makeup. Well, I was rather outspoken on a couple of things, and that was one of them. That's a fumble. The other team picks it up, and you go. No one touched him. He dropped the ball. That's not a forward pass. He's not. It's not a forward pass. Mm-hmm. It's a, although they call it any ball going forward out of his hand, a forward pass, but he's spiking the ball.
Right.
He's spinning the ball. So that to me is a fumble. No, you know, my old thing was, and I said this many times, and it goes back to the tuck rule even, and I was in the minority on that one. You know, you get 100 guys in a bar looking at a game, and 100 of them say that's a fumble. It's a fumble.